As you know, I've been focusing on a series that I wanted to preach on concerning the second coming of Christ. Now, next Sunday, I'm going to close out this series with a message focusing on heaven. And this is the time and the part to where I will once again look at Randy Kidder and say, it don't get any better than that. But I'm going to bring that to you next Sunday. But this Sunday, I thought it would be very important to talk and to share with you concerning a question that so many people have. So many people are disturbed and they say, well, you know, I don't know what in the world I'm going to do. I'm afraid to die. If you're afraid to die, you're afraid to live. And if you're afraid to live, you will not find hope, nor will you find success in fear. Fear has no place with the Christian. Certainly the Christian should not get so upset about the thought of dying, because that's the reward time. That's the good part of it. That's what comes at the beginning of our walk with Christ in the heavenly realms. That's what we've said for so many years that we believe. That's what we talked about, and that's what we would go to church to hear about, this place called heaven. But you know, as you hear the little quips on heaven, want to go to heaven but don't want to have to die to go. You never hear anybody say, I'm dying to go to heaven, when they're on their deathbed. All I will ever hear, well, now I take that back, because there have been a few that I've dealt with on the deathbed that's, you know, I was ready to jump on board and go with them. Get so excited over not being able to see what you know they can see, and their face becomes radiant. And you know, as you're talking with them, and as they pass over, I keep reminding you, that's what Christians do. Christians do not die. They pass over. Lost people do not die. They pass over. Better to pass over saved than it is lost. I'm going to talk to you about the angels today, but I'm going to talk to you about your angels. Now, you've heard me preach and teach and share so often about how God has appointed angels for each one of his children. You don't mess with a child of God, focusing on our young children of every generation. But here's something that is overlooked also. We need to understand, even when John was pinning the book of Revelation of Jesus Christ, John was called, all who would hear him, my little children. John was old. Should never have started that one. John was really up there in age. I'm going to have to get out of here, Randy, some way. John was 90. Which really isn't old. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Yeah, it is. It's really getting up there. But see, when you and I get up there in age, we're getting ready to step through a door. I'm a Christian. I believe it. I know it. It's not something that you can teach me, nor is it something that I can teach you. It is a revelation that you will receive in your own heart. You will know whether the preacher is right or the preacher is wrong. Not everybody who preaches from the Bible knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. But you will know. You know how? Because you have salvation in your heart. You have the Holy Spirit within you as a Christian. As a Christian, God cares about every step that we take. He cares about every decision that we make. He loves us in this life, as he's preparing us for the time to come. The most overlooked function of God's performing angels. Let me read my two scriptures first. Ecclesiastes 1:9. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Luke 18:8. I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We are told from God's holy word, and as God touches our heart, that he brings that word alive. You cannot lead someone to Christ. The Holy Spirit will lead someone to you to talk to them about Christ. You are led. It's two leadings of the Holy Spirit. You do not witness to a person by accident, nor do you witness by choice. You witness by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is the power of the Holy Spirit that's going to change that life, not you. Because you don't know what somebody else's life is supposed to be doing. Only God knows that. You don't dare look at someone and say, okay, this is what God is telling you to do. You better know what you're talking about. God had better have delivered that to you because you're the one that's in trouble. Because God says, I have sent my holy angels. And my holy angels are going to watch over you. Remember, holy, set aside for God's service. Holy means set apart for God's service. When Christians die, here's the question. Do angels carry them to heaven? Here's the answer. Yes. When a Christian dies, angels carry that Christian to heaven. Now, Hebrews 1 verse 14. Listen to this. This is very important. Therefore, angels are only servants. Let me read it again. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Once again, back to John as he's penning Revelation and the angel appears to him and comes face to face. John falls on his knees and the angel said, whoa, get up, John. Don't worship me. I am a fellow servant. Don't worship me. See, Jesus has put into the heart of man eternity. And Jesus has given the heart of mankind the freedom to choose where you want to spend eternity. You can spend eternity with him in the presence of God, or you can spend eternity separated from him in the presence of evil. Now remember, that place called hell is a place where there's no love, is a place where there's no hope, is a place where you will not see your friends, neither will you and your friends throw a big party. You know, a welcome home party. No, you won't. The scripture tells us is it is a place of loneliness. It's a place of fire. It's a place of continual pain. But it's a place where a person cannot die. Any of us who have been in war, any of us who have been on a sick bed, we know there's a life itself can be worse than us walking through that door. Many would choose, Lord, please bring me on home. Take me home, Lord, because I'm in such pain within my body. Fire has burnt my body. Lord, I'm hurting and I'm broken. And our prayer is to let's go home. Only a Christian can pray that because only a Christian knows that it is Christ that you're going to step through that door to go and meet. Now you're going to learn a little something this morning, I hope. And I hope that you take away from this the facts about what the Bible says about the angels carrying us to heaven. The most overlooked performing functions of the angels is their ministry to believers. Ministry to believers at the time of our death. Now we have a story in the scripture that focuses on a beggar, and Jesus is the one relaying the story. Remember again, Jesus never related a parable or a story that was a false parable or a false story. He never made something up that didn't happen. So it happened. And I'm sorry to listening to folk on TV saying, yes, I'm a Christian, and I have no doubt that they are. But he had a hard time, he said, believing that anybody was swallowed by that whale. Well, it doesn't matter, because if he has accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of his life, that doesn't have a thing to do. The whale doesn't have a thing to do with going to heaven. But Jesus does. But in my heart and in my spiritual life, not only do I say, yeah, I think I believe that, I know that it was real, because Jesus referred to his 3 days in the grave and the resurrection based on Jonah in the belly of the great fish. If Jonah didn't go to the fish, then Jesus didn't come from the tomb. And here again, take this one into account. God could have created a special fish, big dude, and that big monster, or I think it says sea monster in some translations, God could have done it for that specific situation. But Christ says, this is the way it is. Listen to the story of the beggar who was sitting at the death of, at the table of the rich man at the foot, and begging for crumbs that could be pushed off, that would be given to the dogs, and the rich man would not give him anything to eat. Now, I want you to pay attention to what took place, because both of them died at the same time. Luke 16, verse 22. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side, who's in heaven. And then listen to this, almost like an afterthought. The rich man also died and was buried. Man, what an epitaph. Think of it. The rich man died, he's buried. But now Lazarus, the poor man, he died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. Why would there be a need for angels to escort a Christian from earth to the realm of God's heaven? Well, I thought that has already taken place in the old days, in the time before. Here's your answer, and I want you to study it this week also. There's a truth about the spiritual world that's often overlooked by all of us. We just look right to the door and then we stop. The spiritual world is, the spiritual world that we got to pass through, is the world where our greatest evils originated. Pride, betrayal, and war began in heaven. Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. This is the penman again, John the Beloved. He knows a lot about heaven. He knows a lot about angels. He's been there and met them face to face. Verse 7. Then there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the dragon lost the battle. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Our war that we're involved with is a spiritual war fought in spiritual places. It is a battle going on. So many Christians have forgotten that the war has been won, but we didn't get there yet. You getting it? Christ says this is the way that life is. There's a space between our outer space and the ultimate heaven that the angels of Satan continue to live in or abide in or control even. Now, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture on the proof on this. But I want you to understand that at the point of death, and you got to remember this also, folks, I cannot tell you when your spirit is going to be pulled from you. Well, the scripture says at the point of death. But I can't tell you when that point of death is. With the doctor, okay, he's got you on a machine and that machine is pumping. Have you already gone on to be with the Lord? See, God does not have anything to do with, and I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm saying that God and a machine are not in competition. As that machine keeps you alive, God may have already sent the angels to pick you up. Your ride came in. You stepped through the door. And when you stepped through that door, you stepped to the door seeing the very angels that had been walking with you before you were born. Man, that's deep, isn't it? I'll get out of that real quick. But you need to understand, God says, I'm in control. Larry, do you really think that when you walk through that door that you can fight in the spiritual realm? Yeah, I'm a Marine. No, he was putting us to guard the streets one day. I can remember. Think of it this way. God says there's war going on. Folks, the spiritual war continues until God calls a halt and a new world and a new heavens come down. You and I are going to be out of here to be with God before all of the fighting is over, but our battle has already been won. I have Jesus in my heart and you have Jesus in your heart. The battle is over. The war had been won. And God said, I want you to see it as you go through, and I want you to be protected because you're coming to me. Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, the enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. I didn't make this up, folks. Against mighty powers in this dark world and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Satan is known as the prince of the power of the air. We know that. You and I have a face-to-face meeting with an evil spirit every second of our life. They're all around. And in every second, that war is going on for you or me. When that individual says yes to Jesus Christ, that individual is protected from that time on against ever having to worry about going to hell. And if I don't have to worry about going to hell, why then would I not get excited about going to heaven and taking as many with me as I can? If I truly believe that heaven is God's abode, and God said all of us who will come with him, he's taking care of us, since he knew our name in his heart, do you not think that he won't take care of us at the time of the separation? The air in scripture is defined as the space between heaven and earth. The air is defined as the space between heaven and earth. No one has ever seen humanly heaven as they go up. When they went to the moon, wasn't any heaven around that they could see. They could say that they were in the heavens. They were in Satan's abode. Listen to Ephesians 2 verses 1 and 2. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. You and I are attacked all the time, continually. Satan wants to stop us. But now, wait a minute. Preacher, you said that if I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. That's correct. then if I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, how is Satan going to stop me? He's not. He's not going to stop you from going to heaven. He don't have to. All he's got to do is spiritually, in the spirit realm, trick you into your old nature, the old you that is in there. And he'll stir up the old you. You have two natures, folks, as long as you're in that human body. And for those of you who tell me that since you've been saved, you've never sinned, that's a sin because it's a lie. Every individual in the human body walks in sin. It is Jesus who paid for my trip and your trip to heaven. Jesus said, that's my blood. Larry Pete belongs to me. Don't mess with him or you mess with me. Many still have trouble, as Christian says. You know, it sounds so much like a fantasy when you talk about it like that, preacher. Well, here's you sounding like a fantasy. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin birth, killed on a cross vicariously to take my sins, your sins, pay for them, to deliver us from guilt of anything. He's in the tomb for 3 days, comes back to life, and walks around with everybody who knew him for 40 days. Now, tell me which one sounds like the bigger fantasy. Think of it. You and I have a relationship with Jesus Christ when we say yes to him. And that relationship is one of those powerful, powerful relationships that when Peter said, Lord, allow me to come on the water with you. And then we read how Jesus said to the apostle Peter, Peter, come here. Peter climbs out of the boat, starts walking to Jesus. Then the storm that was raging, he had been oblivious to it until he gets to the point of getting close to Jesus, and then he hears the roar of the sea and he says, uh-oh, I am in a mess. And he starts to sink. And the cry that Peter cried out is a cry that you and I need to understand will take us right straight to heaven with the power of the angels that God created for us. He cried to Jesus, Lord, called him Lord, save me. Woo! Lord, save me. And we see where Jesus reached his hand down and grabbed Peter's arm and lifted him up. Peter didn't grab him. Jesus grabbed Peter and he pulled him up. Peter, why didn't you trust me? Think of that. All Peter would have had to done was just put a little thought in it. Here I am, I'm walking on water like Jesus. But he got afraid. You and I as Christians, often we will find that the storm of life itself, when we look at it raging around us, we thought that we have it beat. We thought that because we're a Christian that we can. And my friend, that's the right thought process. You can through Christ. But then the storms rage too far. The storms are too loud. They're over our head. We're afraid we're going to drown once again into the miry clay, the miry depth of life, of the world. And Jesus says, hey, Larry Pete, I sent you an answer. Lord, save me. Now, how many times have you heard people tell you, you can't get saved unless certain situation takes place, certain this happens, or you cry right, or you say Jesus right, or you learn to spell it in Greek. Gosh, any of you all speak Greek? There you go. Well, you'd be in a mess knowing Jesus, wouldn't you? Think of it. We have the scripture. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus, save me. Got you, Peter. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You're saved. What was going on? What did they all have in common? The name Jesus. What is the spiritual realm trying to kick out of the name the spiritual realm's trying to kick out in our generation? Jesus. What are they afraid of? If Jesus doesn't mean anything, then why does the world get so angry every time someone says Jesus? We don't want Jesus in our schools. Well, my friends, I got news for this society. Every Christian that walks in your school walks in with Jesus, and you can't take that away from them. Jesus says, I will indwell you. I have a heart for you, Larry. And am I so glad. And your heart belongs to me, says Jesus. Let me read you something so it may help you understand a little better. Billy Graham's famous book, Angels, written many years ago. He shares this insight on these angels. Let me read it, if I might. Death is robbed of much of its terror for the true believer. But we still need God's protection as we take that last journey. At the moment of death, the spirit departs from the body and moves through the atmosphere. But the scripture teaches us that the devil lurks there. He is the prince of the power of the air. Told you. If the eyes of our understanding were opened, we would probably see the air filled with demons. Sometimes you can see a few of them at the family get-togethers. If Satan could hinder the angel of Daniel, think of that. I read that to you last week. I'm going to read it to you again. For 3 weeks on his mission to earth. Now think of this. See, you and I have read the stories and we know what took place. We can imagine the opposition a Christian may encounter at death. But Christ at Calvary cleared a road through Satan's kingdom. When Christ came to earth, he had to pass through the devil's territory. Now listen to this one. And open up a beachhead here. This is one reason Jesus was accompanied by a host of angels when he came. Till then, the moment of death is Satan's final opportunity to attack the true believer. But God has sent his angels to guard us at that time. See, the whole focus is in a name. That's why the world doesn't want to hear the name. Did you all hear about the guy that's trying to copyright Jesus' his name? Did you hear that one? He's trying to copyright the name Jesus, and then he'll control it. The name. You talk about your pastor being sued. Every one of us in here would have the biggest lawsuit because we'd walk around saying, Jesus, Jesus. I knew him before you copyrighted him. Think of it. Anything that they can do to stop the name of Jesus. If there's no power in that name, why can they not stand it? They want it out. They want a generic God. If you're going to talk about this supernatural power, use the name God. And their generic God starts with a little G. My God is a big God and has a big G at the beginning. You and I must be the army that Christ has called us to be. In all the wars that God led his nation in, he fought the war for them before they got there. They were victorious because of what Christ did. That's the love that he has for us. Yes, there is a spiritual war going on. But it's God's war. He's doing it his way. But he's making sure that at that point that we step through that door, that Satan can't mess with us. You get in trouble, tell Jesus on them. Lord, you told me to get there. I don't know how to get there. The angels are there. You've already won, people. The spiritual battle in the air that you and I know exists and we've talked about. But it can always be witnessed with Gabriel's statement to Daniel. Now, Gabriel was an archangel. Michael, an archangel. And remember, when people tell you that Jesus is Michael, oh, good gracious, no. Jesus is Jesus, the Son of the living God. Michael is an archangel, as you will see, concerning why he took 21 days to bring God's answer to his prayer. Listen to it. Daniel 10, verses 12 through 14. Then he said, this is the angel speaking, "Don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you began to pray for understanding, to humble yourself before your God, your request has been heard in heaven." And we don't think they get past the ceiling. His request had been heard in heaven. Now, listen to the rest of it. "I have come in answer to your prayer, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way." That's Satan. "Then Michael, one of the archangels," Michael, an archangel, not Jesus, okay, "came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. Now I am here to explain what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time yet to come." Now, folks, I had to tell you that story. The reason angels escort us into the realm of God, where he is because there is a spiritual war continuing to be waged in the spiritual realm. That spiritual war only has a certain avenue to where it can affect us. That's through our old nature. And God said, "I want you to understand that my angels are there to watch over you. They're ministering spirits for you." Don't you remember the scripture telling us? Do you not know that you, Christian, will judge the angels that fail? Do you not know that you will judge them? Oh, Brother Larry, I don't want to judge anybody. I just want to get to heaven. That's what our heart says. Well, it's in heaven. It's truly where your life begins the way God wanted it to begin with. God gave Adam and Eve a beautiful garden. They didn't have to do anything. They were there to enjoy the garden, a gift of God. You do not see, prior to the curse on the ground, them having any problem. If people said, well, they had to dig and do it. No, they didn't. They were well taken care of. And all God told them was that one tree, leave it alone. Everything else you can eat of, everything else you can have, is prepared for you. You and I are going to that place as a Christian. You and I are going to that place known as heaven, escorted in by the angels of Almighty God over nothing you've done or nothing I've done, but over everything that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has done. Now, Christian, don't you dare get out there in this world and deny Christ. And if you do, please don't tell them you're a member of Vine Grove Baptist Church. Please don't. But you see, next Sunday, it will get better than even this. Let's pray. Father, as each of us bow our heads, we come asking you for your mercy, for your truth. Touch us, dear Lord God, with your word. Give us direction, Heavenly Father, that we might truly stand strong. And we'll be about your business while we're on this earth. And Father, as you welcome us in, We praise your name that throughout eternity we will be with you. We ask the blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.